It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sky's so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just
day.
A sunny day.
Yeah.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. It's going to be a beautiful day. Maria Chalaos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. We will be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us your questions at 57500. Ton, this is the kind of day that's a little bit dangerous for me because I kind of get spring fever and I get all excited and I want to do all sorts of things that I shouldn't do out in my yard.
Well, it's one of those weekends. You know, we're going to be back down in the 40s by early next week, but a lot of people like to get going, and it's just been a long winter, and the warm weather comes, and we just want to get out there.
I know. You asked me last night, what do you want to talk about tomorrow? And I said, spring. And truly, that is the bottom line. That's what I want to talk about, spring. So you found a really wonderful plant of the week to talk about, which makes us feel like spring because it's so sunny, and that is leopard's bane.
Yes, leopard's bane is a perennial that will live at least 4 or 5 years in your yard. But it's unique because it is the earliest blooming daisy that we have, and it's yellow, and it also tolerates shade really well, and so it mixes well with things like tulips and other bulbs, and then it will come back. So it's just one that it's out there and available that just hasn't, you know, it's not as popular as like Shasta daisies or others, but it has a good between 4 and 6 week bloom time in the spring.
And so it's only a one-time bloomer. Some of those daisies will come back twice in the season, which
they will.
I
now, this
get really
one,
excited about.
Yeah, this one's deadheaded. It will produce more blossoms. And so deadheading is a process. As soon as you see the flower is spent, then you cut it off so it doesn't go to seed. And if you'll do this, then the plant gets mad at you because it's trying to make seeds and send up more flowers. And so you can extend its bloom season into early summer. But as soon as we start to get temperatures above 80 degrees, it stops producing flowers.
I had never thought of deadheading in quite that way, that you actually make the plant mad and it produces more flowers.
Yeah, it's trying to complete its life cycle, and you cut off those flowers, and it has to start all over, which is good for us, but I'm sure it's not very happy.
So the leopard's bane, though, can tolerate some shade. Most of the daisies have to be in full sun, right?
They do. And that's why this one is unique in that it will tolerate that shade. Now, I'm not talking under a spruce tree.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know I want to do that, right?
Yes. On the north side of your home, yeah, or east side, it works quite well. And then it's one that if you need that spring color, because sometimes it's more difficult to find the flowers for those shady areas, this one is really nice.
Awesome. And so how about soil and water?
Average soil, average water. It's not super drought hardy, but it also, you know, needs to be watered a couple times a week. By late summer, it may go dormant just because it's more of a spring bloomer. But I've seen it planted in multiple areas along the Wasatch Front. It's done fine.
Is this one that reseeds all over the place? There are some perennials that do that.
It's not. It'll stay in place. The most common variety you're going to find is called Little Leo, mm-hmm. and it gets about a foot high and maybe 18 inches wide. And so it just stays in place. And, you know, if you want to, after 3 years or so, you could probably divide it in late fall after it's gone dormant to divide it out a little bit, but it just doesn't go crazy.
I like Little Leo. Okay. That's, and it stays shorter, which I like, because a lot of the Shasta daisies are really tall.
Yes. And there's other varieties and species of leopard's bane that will get up to 3 or 4 feet, but this particular one is just about a foot.
Okay. Have you been in the nurseries lately?
Not yet. I've spoken with a lot of the nursery managers, and
it's a little early, but I was just wondering if they're starting to get in some of these perennials.
They are getting woody plants right now outdoors. I was mm-hmm. speaking with one of the managers from up at J&J, which I'm not favoring over anybody else. I frequent many nurseries, but they were posting pictures of their stock. They get multiple semis, as do many other nurseries. And so if you're needing trees, shrubs, they're starting to become fairly well stocked. Some of the earliest blooming perennials are available. I've seen that one of our local nurseries down here in Utah County had the Lenten roses, the hellebores, on mm-hmm, sale. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen things that the early spring, you know, the primroses, the hellebores, the early spring flowers, the pansies are all available. But some of these, like this Dronicum or the leopard's bane, should be available within the next few weeks. Now, again, it's like that spring fever. We want to get out there. If you plant it too soon, you're going to end up covering it.
Okay, so that was my next question. Some of these perennials and bushes, can we start planting those now?
If they are dormant, we can. A lot of our nursery stock comes out of Oregon, and even though they're a little warmer during the winter, the plants are still dormant when they come in. And so if your trees and shrubs that you've purchased don't have leaves on them, then you're usually fine to put them in your yard.
Yeah, it's one of those questions I have to ask, because today is going to be beautiful, close to 70 degrees. But you mentioned we're going to get back down into the 40s, probably going to see a little bit of more snow. I mean, March is the wettest month of the year.
It is. And we do still need the snow, you know, with everything that's been going on. We need to fill up our reservoirs. And so I would encourage folks to do what you can, but also be patient.
I don't like to be patient.
No.
It's one of my favorite quotes, don't you know? From Nightmare Before Christmas. I don't like to be patient.
No.
It's tough to be patient, no doubt about it, especially if you're a gardener.
Yeah. Well, in the 10 o'clock hour, I've been seeing a lot of people with a lot of lawn questions, and so we are going to be talking about, at least on lawns, what we might be able to do and what we should wait on. And so just to kind of give people hopefully a little direction on what to be doing in their yards.
Okay, so we will focus on that at the top of the 10 o'clock hour if you would like to stay with us until then or come back. Also, in the 9 o'clock hour this morning, we're going to be talking about artichokes. I've had people ask me, do artichokes do well? Can we plant artichokes? And that's something we're going to focus on at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. So stay with us for more on that as well. We're going to take a break. We already have callers lined up and texters who have sent in their questions. Again, the number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. And you can find out more about leopard's bane on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Anton with you this morning, taking your calls, taking your questions. You can text us at 57500 or you can call us at 801-575-8255. Our first listener is Jay in West Valley City. Ton, he sprayed dormant spray for fruit trees this week. He kept the same weight for roses and shrubs, but he says the label said to do half that. So now he wants to know what harm he may have done.
Hopefully not much, with the plants being dormant. Now, if it said use half rate, I mean, all you can do is be patient and see what happens. And what would happen is that the buds that might have been swelling that were sprayed could have been scorched. So it just depends on how advanced those buds were, but just going to have to wait and see. I don't think he's killed the plants, but they might not look very happy when they first come out.
Might be a couple of months before they look really great, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Next listener says, can you give them some directions on trimming an apple and apple tree and a Mugo pine? And they're wondering if they can hedge trim the Mugo because it's out of control.
Well, on the apple, what I would recommend doing is getting on YouTube and just searching USU and apple pruning. Without some more information, it's just really hard to give them advice. I mean, the one thing I can say is they don't want to take more than about 25% of the total canopy out of the tree. And they need to do it sooner than later, because the longer they wait, it'll be more susceptible to fire blight, which is a bacterial disease that spread in the wind and the rain and by insects and also sometimes by pruners.
All right. How about the Mugo?
Well, the Mugo, instead of just shearing it, the danger of doing that to pines and conifers in general is that they only produce growth from their tips. And they don't have dormant buds that they can regenerate if you cut them back too hard. So what I would recommend doing on the Mugo is actually going in and using a technique called renewal pruning, where they take about 25% of the total branching out, and they work their way in toward the base of the shrub and take the worst offending branches out. That way, they'll leave younger branches behind that will continue to generate growth, and they hopefully won't need to do shearing on it. If they do, the best time to do that is when the Mugo pine shoots some new growth out, and when it is fully extended but still soft, they can take about 40% of that new growth and just tip prune it. And that way it'll continue to be dense. But that's about the only time during the year that I'm ever comfortable with a form of shearing on Mugo pines.
Okay. So this next text is going to be hard to answer because we don't know what kind of pruning they want to do. But they want to know if it's too late to prune in Cache Valley. So maybe the answer would be, what is it too late to prune in Cache Valley?
No, they're 2 weeks behind us. They're actually, because mid-February on the Wasatch Front is the time you start with your apples and pears, they're actually right where they need to be on apples and pears. And if there's any stone fruits, then those would actually be more toward late March into early April, along with roses. And so when you're in the Cache Valley, for Wasatch Front recommendation dates, you always back things up by 2 weeks.
All right, let's turn to our phone lines. We have Rich waiting in Draper. Good morning, Rich. What is your question this morning?
I thought I'd take advantage of the great temperatures today and prune back on the roses here. I moved into a house back in August that has some roses. I'm used to pruning roses, although one of these is about 7 feet tall, and I'd like to prune it down to a little more manageable size. Could you give me some tips on that?
Well, what is a bush rose or a...
It's a bush. The previous owners just kind of let it grow without doing a whole lot of... my landlord, rather. They let it grow without doing a whole lot of pruning and shaping and things like that. No, it doesn't have a tree. It's more a bush.
Okay. Well, what I would do is go ahead and that technique I described earlier called renewal pruning. And it's going to be that you're going to need to put on a fairly durable long sleeve shirt, leather gloves, but get some loppers or a Sawzall with a pruning blade and take about 25% of the branches out toward the base. And that should actually bring your height down by at least a third to 50%. After that, you can kind of give it a haircut. Now, when you see it bloom, does it just bloom in the spring or periodically through the entire season?
It was blooming. Like I said, I moved in on the 8th of August, and it bloomed up through the hard freeze. So it's a magic color, I believe, is the variety. I used to have that in my old house. And
okay.
That's what it.
Well, what I would recommend then is go ahead and prune it, and then you can give it a haircut after the fact. So you're going to take the height down by renewal pruning and then just give it a light haircut, and that should do it.
Okay. Okay. Could I ask one more question?
Go ahead, Rich.
Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
This house also has three clematis plants. Two of them went, lost all their color and everything else in the summer. And then one, actually right next to this rose bush, has maintained leaves and color. It's maintained green leaves all through the winter. How should I care for those or prune them or, keep them going so they're blooming all, during the summer, spring and
clematis
summer?
Clematis seem to be simple, but it's a lot more complicated because there are so many kinds of clematis. So what you're going to have to do is you can get online and download a clematis care guide or a pruning guide. And then what you would do with it is look at when they bloom and then prune accordingly. But I'm a little hesitant to say do this or do that because you've got four or five general pruning groups. And so watch when they bloom, download the guide, and see if you can do your homework, and then prune accordingly.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I always like listening to you guys.
Thanks, Rich, for your call this morning. Yeah, clematis is really hard. I have two different clematis vines in my yard, and one blooms in the fall, and one blooms in the spring, and early summer, and they're totally different. They, as far as getting in there and trying to prune them without destroying the vine.
Yes, and some of them you can almost take to the ground, and others you just cut out the dead wood. Others you've got a tip prune now and again, and so that's why I'm hedging a little bit, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to touch that until we know more.
Right. Our next listener, we've spoiled our listeners with the discount on the big yellow bag, so I did look up when we're going to be at Biograss, and we will be at Biograss on March 27th, and if you are waiting for your discount on the big yellow bag, that would be the day I think that will happen. Next person wants to know, Ton, when the best time is to move roses?
Boy, it's getting, they should have probably done it last fall. But if they want to try, because the roses are still mostly dormant, they need to do it within the next week.
So while they're still dormant, get that done.
Yes.
All right. Our next caller is Andrew in Draper. Good morning, Andrew. How can we help you this morning?
Hey, good morning. I'm getting pushed by my better half to prune the peach tree this weekend. And I'm feeling like it's a little early from some videos that I saw, but you are my official arborist. And just wanted to get your thoughts on number one, timing, and then number two, how.
Well, on the timing, usually mid-March is when we recommend it. I mean, it's the 6th today, and the weather looks like it's going to be pretty mild. And if you need to get on it, you're okay. So on peaches, I would download some peach tree pruning videos or watch them on YouTube. USU has a few of them on there. But on peaches, you generally can take up to about 40% of the branches out. And the reason you do that is peaches only produce fruit on one-year-old wood. So last year's new growth is this year's fruiting wood. And then a lot of that will come off and you just keep cycling the new growth. Some of the big mistakes people make on peaches is that they should be pruned open center. But we have a tendency to clean the branches off so that it looks almost like a helicopter and all the fruit dangles off the edges. And you should maintain branching all the way down the branch so that the weight on those branches is more evenly distributed. And then you don't want all the fruit production on a long, narrow, wispy branch out on the edge. And so people don't head those branches back quite enough. They just have it. And so open center, but I would rather see not stubby branches, but branches strong enough to support the fruit load, and then more fruiting branches all the way down toward the bottom of the scaffold branches.
So one video that I watched, and it was a Utah-based video, had said on branches that are a pencil or thinner, once you see the fruit buds, to give it five fruits and then cut it off. And then I've got one other question as well.
Okay.
Is that accurate? I mean, do you think that's
fair? It depends on your style. Those kinds of branches would be called hangers, where you just have a kind of a short branch. There's several ways to get this done, and a lot of times we overthink it. And okay. if you'll watch those videos, and even if you get 75% correct, I think you're going to be a lot happier. I mean, so what I would recommend doing is go ahead and do your pruning and get everything thinned out. And you're going to want, how big's your tree?
Well, that was my next question, is that I have one main shoot, like a significant shoot that's pretty much going straight up to about 12 feet, and I'm concerned about that and wanting to cut that off right around the 8-foot mark so that so that I'm not getting peaches really high that I can't reach, but then also potentially causing damage to the tree if it gets
well. Are the other branches at about the 8-foot level?
No, it's just one shoot that goes straight up, and the other branches are, it looks like a very traditional peach tree, except for this one branch that I just have let shoot up and didn't know what to do with, and it literally is like, it's vertical.
Will you put a picture on our Facebook Messenger, on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook Messenger?
Sure.
We're getting up against a break. I hate to tell you to do anything with it until I see a picture, because I'm not quite sure what you're describing.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Andrew, all right, thank you so much for your call this morning. It's tough on some of those, Tom, to give exact advice. You don't want someone to harm their tree.
Yeah, normally I just say go ahead and cut it back, because you don't want a great big finger stick. Well, that didn't come out right. You don't want a great big branch sticking up in the air on your peach tree. But I want to see a picture first so that we don't cause any damage.
All right. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. And you can text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.